If you would please, Daniel chapter 9. Thank you, Pastor. If you'll look at Daniel chapter number 9 with me, I just want to read verse number 1 and verse number 2, and I finished up down through verse number 19 last night in our church, and so I'm not going to get that far into this passage, but I have something particular the Lord has laid on my heart, and I trust it'll be a blessing for you this afternoon. Maybe just a little bit of a devotional challenge, and then we'll get the real preacher up here in just a few minutes. Daniel chapter number 9. And I want to preach this afternoon on Daniel and his Bible. Daniel and his Bible. Look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 1 through verse number 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Notice verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. As we have studied as a church the prophecy of Daniel, we have been afforded a study not only of him as a messenger, but Daniel as a man. And to me, the most accomplished or maybe the most fulfilling portions of my study from the prophecy of Daniel have been about the character of this man named Daniel. You'll say amen with me. He was a remarkable man. You talk about a man with no compromise whatsoever. In every opportunity to compromise his faith and compromise his stand for the Lord, Daniel stood head and shoulders above everybody else in the kingdom. He was faithful. He sets a standard for us of spiritual excellence in almost every conceivable area of his life, particularly when we've been studying chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter number 3, and then we skipped over to chapter number 6 for a few thoughts and tied them together. As we studied those handful of chapters of this wonderful book, we were very much aware that Daniel was special. He was remarkable. He was a unique character in the Word of God. His levels of commitment and dedication were unlike anyone else in the Hebrew nation or in the Babylonian kingdom of his day. And as Daniel has served as a model of spiritual excellence in compromising situations, it's no surprise that we learn that Daniel was heavily influenced by books. There were books that Daniel retrieved in Babylonian exile that meant a great deal to him. He tells us about them in verse number 2 of this passage, and one of those was called the Word of the Lord that came by the prophet Jeremiah. Amen. Man, I feel good about this right now. We're presented with a time stamp here in this passage. You'll notice in verse number 1, we're given a special time stamp. The Bible tells us, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in verse number 2, in the first year of his reign. Now that's an especially interesting time context or a time stamp given to us for a context, because we learn from that the book of Daniel is not written in chronological order. As a matter of fact, the first time we hear about Darius, he's called Cyrus. It appears that Darius is a name like Herod or Pilate, and Cyrus was his real name. And that carries us actually all the way back to chapter number 6. Now, you know that in Daniel chapter number 6, Daniel was facing the lion's den. And so it was this king that had in mind to throw Daniel bound into the lion's den. And that tells us that the events of this chapter happen right alongside his persecution for his prayer life. That's right. Y'all get me some amens ready. Daniel just about got killed because of his prayer life. It was Daniel's prayer life that offended the government. But we find out that Daniel's prayer life was more powerful than the government. And Daniel's prayer life was more powerful than anti-Semitism. Boy, don't we need this message in this hour. Daniel's prayers were more powerful than the government, more powerful than anti-Semitism. And Daniel was indeed a praying man. In fact, the Bible tells us in chapter number 6, when he got caught praying by the government, can you imagine the government regulating our prayer life? I mean, there was a time when the government regulated how close we could sit together in church, and the government regulated how often we could meet together, and the government regulated how many we could bring into our auditorium. And I never thought that the government would actually regulate our prayer life as if there was some kind of tax that was supposed to be put on our prayers. In the days of Cyrus, in the days of Daniel, that was the case. It occurred in the first year of the king's reign, Darius. And it's that same Darius that's spoken of in chapter 6, spoken of here again in chapter number 9. And that is very revealing. This chapter in the prophecy of Daniel is not only full of prophetic truth, but it is ripe with practical admonitions. When I studied this and I broke it down for our church for an introductory thought, I did it this way under three headings. Number one, the precepts that Daniel studied, verse number 1 through verse number 2. Number 2, in verse number 3 through verse number 9, the prayer that Daniel prayed. And then in verse number 20 through verse number 27, the prophecy that Daniel revealed. Well, Daniel 9 opens up in the most wonderful way. It opens up by telling us that Daniel had a Bible in his hand. We all know Daniel as a prophet. Most of us, when we study Daniel chapter number 9, we want to hurry to get to the prophetic nature of this chapter about the 70 weeks. And then next Sunday night, we're going to start into the 70 weeks of our study of Daniel. But we're not in a hurry to get there. It's unfortunate to pass by the practical admonitions that you can receive from this remarkable man's life just to get to the prophecy. And let me just say a word about that. Daniel was a student of God's Word. No greater accolade, no greater achievement could be attributed to a man than say he's a student of God's Word. Daniel was a praying man, and Daniel was a Bible-loving man. Amen, amen. He was a praying man, and he was a Bible-loving man. Just because Daniel received divine revelation directly from the Lord, sometimes from the angel Gabriel in this book, just because he received his directions and his revelations directly from the Lord didn't mean that Daniel could neglect his own responsibility to receive something of the Lord from a book. And that book was given to him while he was in exile. May I say that this afternoon? Nothing can replace that responsibility. You are responsible to have a book in your hand, and that book is to guide your steps. I believe prophecy is important. We're watching it unfold right in front of us. I think the hooks are already in the jaw of great Russia. She's being drawn down into this battle with Israel. I think we're watching prophecy unfold right out in front of us. It possibly could happen this year. Are you listening to me? But don't ever let prophecy and speculation about what might happen supersede what God has said to us in His Word. And so Daniel 9 serves as an admonition to be studious, to be prayerful, and to be dedicated. You might be surprised to hear that Daniel had a Bible, and you may be further surprised to know that Daniel's Bible was not like ours. There was no New Testament in Daniel's Bible. Daniel didn't have the book of Revelation. Daniel didn't have Matthew chapter number 24. None of that had been written yet. Daniel didn't have the epistles. Daniel didn't have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to correct him in his interpretation of prophecy. Daniel's Bible was partial. He only had a semblance, a thumbnail sketch of what we have in our hands this afternoon. Daniel had Genesis through Deuteronomy. That's the Torah. That's the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then Daniel had evidently the historical books that starts in Joshua, extends over into the Chronicles. And then we find that Daniel had some contemporaries that wrote just before the time of exile, and the writings of those contemporaries, he called their books the Word of the Lord, including the words of Isaiah. Oh man, the little wheel is turning in the big wheel right now. Daniel gleaned from the words of Isaiah and Ezekiel, pre-exilic prophets. Jeremiah was a man that Daniel followed the writings of. And of course, Jeremiah didn't just give us a prophecy. He wrote also the book of Lamentations. And you'll find out in the book of Daniel that he gleaned from both the book of Lamentations as well as the prophecy of Jeremiah. And as I have studied this book, I've come to realize just how much Daniel loved his Bible, and just how much Daniel trusted his Bible, and just how much Daniel studied his Bible. And come to find out, amen, Brother Bryant, that Daniel felt the same way about his Bible that we feel about our Bible today. And so I want to talk to you for just maybe just three thoughts about Daniel and his Bible. Preacher gave me 25 to 30 minutes. I don't think I'm going to need all of that even, preacher. Number one, if you'll notice with me, come back down to verse number 2 and notice with me that Daniel believed his Bible literally. And there are two things that Daniel believed about his Bible. Number one, Daniel believed that his Bible was inspired. Or I would say it this way, if you're taking notes, Daniel believed in the inspiration of the Bible. You'll notice with me in verse number 2 that Daniel called the books that Jeremiah wrote the Word of the Lord. In other words, Daniel recognized, amen, Daniel recognized the fact that this is not the word of Jeremiah, this is the Word of God. And so when Daniel picked up a copy of the book of Jeremiah, he said, "This is the word of the living God. We can trust what it says. It came to us from heaven. It was inspired by the Holy Ghost." Jeremiah had nothing to do but the recording of it. This is the work of God. Do you believe that about your Bible? Do you believe that your Bible is inspired just like Daniel believed his Bible was inspired? History tells us that the Jews in exile in Babylon had been busy collecting scrolls together. And when they were carried away in Babylonian exile, there were portions of the Old Testament law, the writings of the prophets that they brought with them out of Israel. And evidently, Daniel had a set of those books. Now, they're called books here, but they're not bound like our books are. They're scrolls. They're rolled together. And Daniel had a set of those scrolls, according to verse number 2. And inside of that set of scrolls that Daniel had, there was a copy, amen, of the book of Jeremiah. Remember? Jeremiah wrote two books in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah had prophesied prior to the captivity of Israel, and Jeremiah was commanded by God to write down the prophecy that was given to him. And the Bible tells us as Daniel was reading in Jeremiah, he began to read about the prophecy that preceded the exile. And there were promises woven into the prophecy of Jeremiah that gave Daniel some hope that this thing is going to come to an end someday. Remember the words of, he must have been reading Jeremiah 25, verse 11 through 12. Remember those words? "And this whole land shall be desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it a perpetual desolation." And when Daniel picked up Jeremiah chapter number 25, no verses, no chapters back then, but when he unrolled that scroll and he came to that portion of the scriptures, Daniel said, "Amen." You know why he said that? Because he had been in exile for 67 years when he read that. You know what he said, Brother Joe? He said, "Fellas, if we can just make it 3 more years, God has said that after 70 years, this thing is going to come to an end, and he's going to let our people go back to their land. There will be another temple. There will be another wall. We'll replant our crops. We'll rebuild our houses. We'll reestablish our land. Nehemiah had in his heart to rebuild the walls. Ezra had in his heart to rebuild the temple, and the people of God were made a promise by Jeremiah that because of your rebellion, you'll be punished for 70 years, but one day you're going to get to go back home. And Daniel was there in that exile for all of those 70 years. He was carried away into Babylon when he was 15 years old. He left Babylon when he was 85 years old. And for 70 years, he had hope in the promise that was made to him. Are y'all getting anything out of this? He had hope in the promise that was made to him in a book. In a book. Friend, if you get your hope on Fox News, you're a fool. You get your hope from Glenn Beck, you're foolish. We get our hope from a book. This book is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. If it said it was going to last 70 years, it was going to last 70 years. And Daniel believed that Jeremiah's word was an inspired word. You know what Daniel read? He read in three places in the Bible where God said, I'm going to put my words. Can I give y'all a little bit of a hermeneutics lesson this afternoon? I don't want to bore you to death, but it's my words in a man's mouth. He read in Deuteronomy 18 and verse number 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. Did you hear that? He said in Isaiah 51, 16, I have put my words in thy mouth. I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. He said in Jeremiah 1:9, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, I have put my words in thy mouth. Are y'all getting what I'm telling you today? It's the word of God in the mouth of a man. We believe that. This is the word of God. Daniel didn't just believe in the inspiration of his Bible. Daniel believed in the preservation of his Bible. I like this, Preacher Wells. Remember, Daniel called the books that Jeremiah wrote the word of the Lord in verse number 2. I'm looking at chapter 9, verse number 2 now. And you'll remember when that was recorded, there was a wicked king in power. His name was Jehoiakim. Boy, he sounds like a booger, doesn't he? A name like that, Jehoiakim. Kind of sounds like Goliath. He sounds like a boogered up man, doesn't he? And that wicked king hated Jeremiah. And the Bible tells us when Jehoiakim found out that Jeremiah had written down a prophecy that was giving the people hope that God would deliver them from Babylonian exile, the word of God tells us in Jeremiah 36 that Jehoiakim took everything that Jeremiah wrote down and he burned it. But the Lord had a purpose in what Jeremiah had written. So you know what happened? I feel like I'd run from here to Easley and back right now. Jeremiah wrote it again. You know why? Because God made a promise that what I've given you is settled in heaven. And he wrote a second copy of it. And that second copy made its way down into Babylon and gave men like Daniel the hope that they needed to abide in the middle of compromise and paganism and heathenism and shamefacedness and confusion of face. He said, we're a people with confusion of face all the way through chapter number 9. Boy, aren't we living with that spirit in this generation. Hold on, child of God. I know we're in confusing times. I know we're in times when you can't even tell a man from a woman. You don't even know what bathroom you're supposed to use. I know we're in confusing days, but just hold on, friend. God has made us a promise, and we don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but we know that he has promised us, I will come again. You know why we believe that? Because we believe in a preserved book that told us that. This Bible said, by the way, most of what Daniel said is mirrored in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. This Bible said, heaven and earth, this is what Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I'm interested in that little terminology, pass away. That's a terminology that, of course, euphemism. It became used often to describe the dying of something. When someone dies, we describe them as they have passed away or they're passing away. And everything that dies, it dies because it's marred by the corruption of sin. The wages of sin is death, right? So anything that dies, it dies because of the corruption of sin, right? The Bible says that our flesh will have to put on immortality because it's corruptible. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Our flesh dies. It goes back to the earth, just like the Bible has taught us since the days of Genesis, since the days of Job. Everything that's been corrupted by man, it passes away. But Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. You know why? Because the word of God is not the work of man. It's not corrupted by the sins of man. Oh man, I'm telling you, I love this old Bible today. It means more to me than the newspaper. It means more to me than a news channel. It means more to me than social media. This book is what gives me hope. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah said, as the grass withereth, Isaiah 40 in verse number 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. In Psalm 119, verse number 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Daniel had a Bible. And come to find out, Daniel believed the same thing about his Bible that we believe about our Bible. Number two, Daniel not only believed his Bible literally, but I want to say secondly that Daniel prayed his Bible earnestly. Now I want to show you something. I'm just going to take a couple more minutes and to give you this. As Daniel read his Bible in verse number 1 and in verse number 2, it drove him to his knees. As Daniel read his Bible, it inspired a prayer life. As Daniel read his Bible, it produced in him a power to pray. He got the plan from the Word, and then he started praying that plan. Man, y'all ain't getting this, are you? After he got the plan, he started praying. He didn't pray and looking for the plan. He got the plan, and then he went and started praying. I want to show you that. Look at verse number 2 and verse number 3. I, Daniel, I love this, preacher. I, Daniel, verse number 2. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Notice with me, he saw the book, and it made him a man of prayer. His prayer begins in verse number 3, and it doesn't end until verse number 19. We're not here to talk about that prayer today. But prayer is in its most refined and pure nature a response to truth. Every prayer that we pray should come from a response to the truth. You listening? Daniel's prayer was born out of an understanding of the Word of God. It's most important that you study the Word of God and let your prayer follow that study. When I was in Bible college, every Monday night for 5 years, Stennett Blue taught us. And this is what he said to us one night in bibliology. He said, fellas, if you ever come to a time when you only have a limited amount of morning and you can either pray or you can read, he said, go ahead and do your reading because it's more important for God to say something to you than for you to say something to him. And I'm telling you, friend, if you'll purchase into that today, if you'll catch that vision today, it'll revolutionize your prayer life. Daniel's prayer was born out of his understanding of what God has said. And what Daniel prayed was based on truth. Notice all the 17 verses, and I'm not going to read this for you, but notice all the 17 verses of his prayer that he prayed. He never made a request until he got all the way down to verse number 19. Now, he said a lot about what God told us he was going to do, And the prayer was never all about Daniel. The prayer was never all about the people. The prayer was about God. And he comes to a conclusion in verse number 19. Look at it in your Bible. He said, "Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hearken and do. Defer not." You know what he's saying right there? He said, "Lord, you told me what you were going to do in your word. Just do that." He prayed, "Lord, you said you were going to do it. So I'm praying, Lord, do it." As a matter of fact, the grammar, if there's an English teacher in here this afternoon, forgive me already, but I'm going to tell you what the grammar is here. He said in verse number 19, "Hearken and do, defer not." You know what the grammar of that is? Lord, do it and don't not do it. Forgive my double negative. But that's exactly how it's written. Lord, do it and don't not do it. You said you were going to do it, and I'm praying you will do it. No wonder Jesus said to us that we're to pray. You remember when Jesus taught us to pray? You remember what he said? He said, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." There's a connection here. The prayer that makes it down to the earth is the one that starts in heaven. We're not trying to get heaven's will done. We're not trying to get earth's will done in heaven. We're trying to get heaven's will done in earth. And how do we know what his will is? He gave us a book. He gave us a book. And when you pray according to what this book has promised, you'll never pray the wrong thing. As long as you pray what you want, we know not what to pray for as we ought. Man, I lost some of you. We're out in the high weeds now, I reckon. But I'm just telling you, friend, you don't know what to pray. How many times have we asked for something and we thank God 1,000 times and he didn't give it to us? What Daniel prayed was based on the truth. It's just like, you remember, now Daniel is an apocalyptic writer. So was John. You remember what John prayed after he heard Jesus say, let me give you a reference. It's Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 20. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Now listen to this, Brother Piercy. You know what John said after that? He said, "Amen." And you know what he prayed? "Do it and don't not do it. Even so come." What's wrong with that prayer? You see, John responded to what God said by praying, "Lord, you said you were going to do it. Go ahead and do it. Lord, you said you promised us you were going to do it. Go ahead and do it. Lord, you said you were going to do it. Do it and don't not do it." Y'all English teachers, don't throw a song book at me, but I'm telling you, that's what it says. Do it and don't not do it, Lord. You said you were going to come. Even so, come. And if we can ever get our prayers back to that, I'm telling you, friend, we'll see a lot more fruit in the promises that we claim from the Word of God. Daniel believed his Bible entirely. Daniel prayed his Bible earnestly. Last of all, Daniel applied his Bible faithfully. Now, I've only got about a minute and a half here, but let me just tell you this. It is this book that kept Daniel the man that he was. Daniel shaped his life in Babylon and in Babylonian captivity in accordance to what he knew his Bible said. Neighbor, you'll be a much better man if you'll just do what your Bible says. You'll be a much better woman if you'll just do what your Bible says. You'll be a much better preacher if you'll just do what the Bible says. You'll be a much better church member if you'll just do what the Bible said. Every decision he made was bathed in the Word of God and prayer. When the Bible speaks of God, we long to commune with him because of what it said. When the Bible speaks of sin, we long to confess that sin because of what the Bible said. When the Bible speaks of judgment, we're anxious to avoid that judgment because of what it said. When the Bible speaks of hell, we pray with an earnest burden for those that are going to hell because of what the Bible said. When the Bible speaks of blessings, we are anxious to get into our prayer closet and claim, Brother Piercy, those blessings, because we know what the Bible said. And when the Bible speaks of promises, we pray those promises because we know what the Bible says. Every day of my life, I go into the presence of the Lord And it ain't long. I close my eyes and bow my head there in his presence. And I say, Jeremiah 33:3 said, call unto me and I will answer thee. And if we pray what God said to pray, we're going to be praying according to his will and not ours. You know what? I better just shut this down. Let me just tell you this. I have never prayed in my life, never one time. I'm just a 47-year-old man, but going on 48 this year. But I have never prayed in my life, Lord, I want you to change your will on this matter right here. No. No. You know what I've prayed? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Because I know his will is always going to be in line with his word. Daniel had a Bible. I don't know if God, the Lord sent me here to preach this for y'all or the Lord sent me here to remind me again that Daniel had a Bible and he believed that Bible and that Bible made Daniel what he was. Father, thank you for the time.